Memhei. Mizma Memhei, we are up to Pasuk. We did the Pesukim. I want to go right to a beautiful Malbim. This Malbim is a Yisoid. Yof Yofisa. Okay, Yof Yofisa, page 402. Make a bracha, Mr. Cohn. Thank you. The Kohen HaGadol. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. We're up to page 402, Pasuk Gimel, Yof Yofisa. Me b'nei Adam, you're more beautiful than all other men in this world. Okay, incredible. You saw it from yesterday, going on Unkelus, or Ankelus. Ankelus, Unkelus, we still need the research of the same person, different people, a targum in Greek, a targum in Aramaic. Yafta Lakim Liyafis, V'yishkoin Baal Hashem. See, it makes sense to say that it was a Greek translation, because Yafta Lakim Liyafis, someone actually said this yesterday, I didn't appreciate what you were saying. Yafta Lakim Liyafis, Yafta is Greek. Okay, everybody say. Now let's look over the Malam. The Malam over here says, Yof Yafisa Mibnei Adam, Derech Hamalitzim L'Sipur Hamailois V'Hatiilois. It is Derech of the Hamalitzim. What the Hamalitzim means, people that give metaphors. A melitzim, what is the church word, melitz? Okay, it means someone gives a metaphor. I'm not sure the exact translation. Okay, hey, Mark, what's left?
Okay.
B'sibur ha-mailos v'atihilos, when you want to describe a person with praise, you want to praise, l'hashir lochem toyarim u'mishalim mitzeh etzo'ei ha-teva. What do? We want to use examples from creation, from the world. There are things in this world that are very like a lion. A gibor kari, okay, a swift like a leopard, a vulture. It flies. Someone flies high like a vulture. You take things that exist in this world, and you borrow them, and you use them as an example for a human being. When you want to praise a person, and you want to say about this person that he's a very great person, it is the derech of the melitzim, the inspirational speakers, to borrow different attributes, different milos that exist in the world, and use them as a metaphor. Derech hamalitzim b'sipur hamilos v'hatihilos. You know, the Malbim, the way he writes is just unbelievable. Just the way he writes before you get to what he wants, the content. His koyach, you learn it again over and over. You learn that there's great talent in writing. Someone who knows how to write is such a blessing. A lot of svarim out there, they're not written well. I don't know, it's just very hard when you have a sefer that's written well, and the mechaber is able to clearly express what he's trying to say with eloquence, and it's done in a concise and pleasant manner. It's such a pleasure. And sometimes you read something, you have to break your teeth to understand, or break your eyes, I don't know what you want to say. What are you trying to say? Are you coming to ask a question, or are you coming to give an answer? What exactly? Someone comes to you and they start talking, they start saying, mumbling. What are you trying to say? You have a question to ask? You have a complaint? You have an answer to a question? What is your agenda? The Malbim, all the Mefarshim are on the page. That's one of the things that allowed them to be successful, is they know how to write. And that is a talent, unfortunately, that is very, very rare. Even with all, you know, training and schooling, to have the ability to learn how to express yourself in writing or in speech is a very great talent. And look at the masters. The masters of this are the...
See how well he was received. This is so recent. He died in 1879.
It's amazing. And he's in the Mikros Gedolos.
And he now is so...
Art scroll. Yeah. Look, they say about the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra was so poor, he wrote a poem about himself, that he wrote a beautiful poem that if his profession was candles, if he was a candle dealer, he has no doubt Hashem would never get, the sun would never set. The sun would never set. If he was an undertaker, no one would ever die. He had this very beautiful poem about, he had a mazel. A mazel, it's like, you know, you talk about a mazel, that he could literally not make a penny to his name. And yet, even though he had that mazel where he was destitute and nothing he did was successful, today his name is a household name. It is in literally every edition of Mikros Gedolos. On the page is the Ibn Ezra. He's the richest man in the world. That his name is his legacy of his being Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael, and yet when he was alive, couldn't scrape together a nickel. Goes to show, you know, there are people today, people look for money.
He was sort of like a court jester when he wrote poetry for the kings. Unfortunately for him, he wrote something one time that the king got insulted and they threw him out.
See that? They threw him out. He got insulted.
And he had nothing.
No parnasa. Even that. Even his talent, he couldn't.
Well, what happened was then, so he began to focus on writing, you know, the great Torah, but he had written some of the great Torah, and he was not considered a rabbi in any way, shape, or form. He was just a poet. But people read his stuff and they said, this guy is really, he's a Talmud Chacham.
He writes here incredibly well. He writes about from nature. If you want to describe a person who's very tall, so what do you say? You say that he's high like a cedar. He's mighty. What chosoin means to be mighty like aloinim. Aloinim is a certain type of tree, a certain type of variety of wood. I don't know if it's oak, if it's all the different, whatever it is, certain type of wood. As kandomer, a person is
Elon
Marah. A terabit, it's the name of a wood. Okay, a lot I know about wood, okay. As kandomer, I once bought some wood and went online, did a lot of research. It's just amazing how all the different types of woods that are out there, different types. When you want to do some type of craft project, you want to know the type of woods. So they have different types of woods here. Verotz, katzipra, as kanomer, it's swift, like a number, like a leopard. Mighty like a leopard. Rotz, katzvi, swift, like a deer. Vigibor, kwari, kal, kinesha, swift like a nesha. Vichadoime. So here we have examples where we're going to borrow from the animals and from different types, variety of trees. We're going to borrow from them and to use their qualities, their characteristics as a metaphor for a human being. Ulam, now look at this. This is where it gets beautiful. Ulam zerak b'mailos choym riyos. Whenever you'll find the pasuk in Tanakh that is doing this, is comparing a human being to something in nature, not a person in nature, then you know that we are describing a physical quality. We're not describing a spiritual quality. Aval, imbola halel b'malos nafshiyos. You want to say a person is an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He's a Baal Musar. He is a Baal Avoider. He knows how to daven. You'll never say that his davening is like a lion. He's gibor ka'ari in the koyach ha'tefila. A lion roars when a person davens. He davens like a lion. That you don't do. That you'll search Tanakh, you'll never find that.
Didn't we have a thing about who is the one, who's the shliach
tzibur
of the animals?
Okay, so fine. Because
not to mention what we have about the ant.
Okay, but that is describing their qualities, the quality of the ant, the quality of the animals. Here we're talking about human beings. We're dealing with human beings and we're trying to describe them in words. And many times a way to describe a human being is to compare him to something else that has been established to be powerful, successful, and have be praised in the eyes of man. Thus, if you find that a person is being compared to an animal, being compared to an ant, to an eagle, to a tree, the Malbum's yesoid is, you automatically know that we're talking about a person's physical capabilities, his physical being. He's strong, he's handsome, he's tall, he can run very quickly. Naftali ayala shulucha. What does that mean, Naftali ayala shulucha?
Naftali knows how to run. He won the marathon. Does it mean that Naftali, Naftali is a Talmud Chacham? Does it mean that there's a Shliach Tzibur? So Machol wants to say that, yes, it does, because the Ayolah Shulucha, because just like the Ayolah was sent to be the Shliach Tzibur for Klal Yisrael, so too Naftali. Okay, here, let's put that aside for a moment. Let's see what the Malma first says. Anytime you find a human being compared to an animal or to a tree, you should know they were comparing him, were describing his physical qualities. Shlemimsa kamoi ben yalde ateva kamo, for example, b'malas sadiba v'ach. But avol im bo lehalel. I'm sorry, this is the second white line. Avol im bo lehalel b'mailois nafshiois. If you want to go praise a person with the mailois, okay, the mailois nafshiois. You want to praise a person about his spiritual quality. Shlemimsa kamoi ben yalde ateva kamoi b'malas sadiba v'ach. Then you have to compare him to a human being. It says about Shlomo HaMelech, he was wiser mikol ha'adam, even from me'eson ho'ezrachi v'heimon v'chalko. These were people like Aristotle, Plato. Okay, these were people that were known in their day to be geniuses. These people were known to be, so you wanted that Shlomo HaMelech was even wiser than Eson HaEzrachi, than Haman, than Chalkol. These were people who were known, these people were renowned for their wisdom. So when we say that Shlomo was wise, we don't say that he was smarter than an elephant. We don't say he was smarter than a dolphin. Okay, there are those that will tell us that the dolphins and elephants are super, super brilliant. They're doing these mathematical calculations in their mind. They do. They have with dolphins. They've studied. They sing. They have these extremely sophisticated codes, language, and they sing. And they've scientifically shown that what they're the noise that they're giving forth is so sophisticated, way beyond man's comprehension.
There
are certain creatures.
About animals in general, that they learn now how sophisticated a lot of animals are. Dolphins are one of the few that recognize when they're looking in a mirror that they see it's them. They're looking at themselves.
That's a genius, because even human. Because human beings, there are many stories of Gedolei Yisrael who literally did not know that what they look like, and they look in the mirror. They don't even know. They think they're looking at someone else. They don't know that. So you're saying a dolphin is able to look in the mirror and to see that it's itself. It's a tremendous chachma. That's a tremendous chachma.
How would you know what you look like?
No, how does a dolphin know? How would a dolphin know?
They put a mirror in the water and they watch themselves, you know, swimming around and you know, doing dances, so to speak.
Baruch Ber did not know what he looked like. That's a fact. There were many Gedolei in that story. Tis yours, Baruch Ber?
Yeah.
And I just said it like that? I must have heard it. Or maybe, I don't know. Hashkocha Pratis. Baruch Ber was from the Mamish, the Gedolei Yisrael. My grandfather was a student. My grandfather was his Talmud. My grandfather used to daven Ne'ilah in his minyan. My grandfather was a like a Shliach Tzibur. He davened for him in the yeshiva, whatever, in Kamenitz. So Zuchusa Yogin Aleinu. So we have over here this incredible idea that when you want to go compare a person's spiritual qualities, his wisdom, then you cannot compare it to animals or nature. You compare it to other humans. Look at this. You're more wiser than Doniel. Al ze amar im eretz los esiv dimyon shel malascha. Therefore, it is said, if you want to describe a tziur v'dimyon el malascha, your attributes, lo uchal lo mashato na lem yechem yaldei ateva, rak etzorech lokachas tziur min hamoulim mibnei adam. Therefore, when you want to go describe different our pasuk, according to all opinions, our mizmor is describing human beings. Either the Melech HaMashiach, or we're describing the Sanhedrin, describing the Torah. Therefore, we're not going to compare it to anything in nature, to a tree, to an animal. We have no. It's something spiritual that we are describing.
According to the Ma'am L'Shitasa, he learns that we are describing Shloimei HaMelech. When Shloimei HaMelech married the daughter of the king of Tsar. Shloimei HaMelech is more famous for marrying the daughter of Paro, Bas Paro. But the Ma'am over here says that's not our topic in this pasuk. Here we describe when he married the daughter of Tsar. Maybe because the daughter of Tsar, we don't find a daughter of Tsar, that he got into trouble with Avodah Zarah. Chazal criticized Shloimei HaMelech for marrying, for Avodah Zarah, for marrying too many wives. They focus almost exclusively on him marrying the daughter of Paro. And maybe that's why the Malbim steered away from that marriage. He's focusing on the marriage of the daughter of Tsar, and he's praising him. And he's saying, you want to go compare his spiritual koichos, we compare it to human beings.
Rabbi Nel says, Ben Shimon Esrei L'chuppah mentioned that he married these people before he was 18. And he said that was his trouble. Ben Shimon Esrei L'chuppah doesn't mean that you have to get married at 18, but you shouldn't get married until you're 18 because you're not mature enough to get married. And the proof is Shlomo HaMelech, who married the Shikses before he was 18 and they turned his head.
Interesting what you're saying. I want to bring a proof to what you said, what we learned yesterday. Yesterday in the afternoon, anyone wants to join us, it will be a great honor. In the afternoon, we learned Chumash Unkelis. I'm not going to be here tonight, but what do you think? You want to give a share tonight?
Then what do I do Friday?
Do more. Well, you have an infinite amount, like a fire hydrant. You can go on for days. You can go on for days. I'll talk later. But it says that Rivka Yaakov says, Kimolu yomai, my days are complete, and therefore I work. My days are complete, and therefore I want to marry Rachel. So what does that mean? So Targum says that Polchono, I promised you 7 years. 7 years of work are up. I now want to marry Rachel. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says it does not say in the pasuk anywhere the word work. And Rashi says, Kimolu Yomoi, my mother, my mommy told me that I should go to my brother Lavan Yomim Achodim. So I've already done the Yomim Achodim. And therefore I want to get married now. Excuse me? Like we gave a marshal yesterday, you go into a candy store, a little child comes to a candy store and he takes out a bag of candy and he puts out a dollar on the counter and he says to the person behind the counter, my mommy said it only cost a dollar. So the person behind the counter will say, I don't care what your mommy said. This costs $10. You're not walking out of the store unless you give me $10. Don't tell me what your mommy said. So what does Rashi say? Kimolu yomoi. I want to marry Rachel because my days are up. My mother said I'll be there for Yomim Achadim. And now I've already been here Yom Achadim. I want to go marry her. Lavan would say, yeah, I don't care what your mother said. Who cares? I'm the boss here. I'll give her when I want to. So why, Taka, did he say that? So he wanted to suggest is that when Rachel, the truth is, when Yaakov, he married Rachel and Leah, Rachel, he married her after 7 years. I'm sorry, I mean, the first erasure was to work for 7 years. Then when he married, when he tricked him, and he married, and he tricked Yaakov, and then he gave her Leah, now he wants again to go for Rachel. He married her immediately after Sheva Brachas. Why didn't he do the same arrangement? I'll work another 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, then I'll marry Rachel. Yaakov is an Ish Emes. He doesn't want freebies. He doesn't want to go take things in advance. I'll do mine, and then you'll do yours. So why is it when it came to the first arrangement, first he worked, then he married. The second time around, he married first, and then he worked. Be consistent. Why couldn't Yaakov make a deal with Lavan right away? Let me marry Rachel immediately, and then I'll work for 7 years. What? Okay, so you can, the MS, you can give at least 20 answers. There, you can definitely give, he tricked him, he worked, getting older, her biological clock is ticking. You can give 100 answers, technical answers. But after everything's said and done, the question is a good question.
Right.
There is an inconsistency. I know all the technical answers. So what we wanted to suggest is that exactly what Rabbi Mayevsky said, Rayevsky says is that Rivka said to Yaakov, go there, Esav wants to kill you, and stay there yomim achodim. Don't get married right away. Rivka gave instructions, b'yashavta imo yomim achodim, ad, until your brother Esav cools down. She specifically told him, don't get married. When do you ever have a mother that tells her child not to get married right away?
But the pasuk says,
yeah.
Vayavod Yaakov Rachel Sheva Shonim, Vayihu Be'enov Ki Yomim Achodim, Vayahavo So Oso.
So what does Rashi say in the previous pasuk? That this was a kiyum of the Yomim Achodim that his mother demanded. It was in his eyes. Ki Yomim Achodim, it was a fulfillment of the Yomim Achodim that his mother told him back in Parashas Toldos to observe. The Yomim Achodim, to delay. Don't get married right away.
It's a long Malbim. The Malbim says over there, very interestingly enough, I mean, if you're negotiating, what are you going to throw out there? I'll work for her for 7 years. You're an idiot. Let him say, how long do I have to work for? I mean, what do I have? Tell me
exactly,
what you want.
Exactly.
Why should he?
So there's more to it.
So he said, because it says, Vayubi Einov Yomim Achodim, 7 years to him seemed like nothing because he loved her so much. He was so over. You know, 7 years was just, he just came out of his mouth.
Okay, that's a separate idea.
It went very fast.
A separate idea. And that's as far as the Torah, right? The time goes. But Joseph over here is that his mother told him, don't get married right away. Really, BMS of Yaakov, when they could have negotiated with love and get married immediately, and I'll pay, and I'll work afterwards. Isn't that the derech? Derech Olam is you get married right away, and then I'll work for you for 7 years. He did that when they come the second time around.
What? Why do you have to wait? What's the
his mother told him, his mother said, do not get married right away.
Yeah,
why not? Why not?
Yitzhak told him to get married.
He told him to go right away, but his mother...
No. Yitzhak said...
Immediately?
Get a wife there.
Immediately?
Yeah, that's what it says. The end of
Tolkien. Okay, so then they have to make a pshara.
Yeah, but
it would appear... So we suggested yesterday, if he was married with a family, Esav was fuming mad. Esav wanted to kill, we just a suggestion. No one doesn't say this anywhere. Esav was fuming mad. He wanted to kill him. If he would get married, once you get married, you're a sitting duck. Once you get married, you have a family, it's not so easy to run away. Esav is coming to kill you. Esav will find out where you are. He'll come get you. He'll come after you. If you're married with 10 kids, it's not so easy to run away. He'll take one of your kids hostage. He'll take your wife hostage. Therefore, don't get married so fast. Run away. And just wait a little bit until Ad Yoshuv Af Chamas Achicha, until Af Achicha, until your brother cools down. And then, after he cools down, now it's not so dangerous, then you can get married. So the Yomim Achodim, there's a time not to get married. There's a time to get married, and there's a time not to get married. Okay, so therefore that would explain why originally he did not get married, and later he did, because if he wanted to negotiate, he couldn't negotiate. Now we got over here, because he says, getting married over here, got a little sidetracked. Let's go back over here. Now go back to our Yesoid. We are in the middle of the Malbim. The middle of the Malbim over here says, middle of the Malbim on page 402, on the right side, smack in the middle. Al ze omar in eretz loset siyur v'dimyon elma al loscha. If I want to go give a description to your qualities of Shlomo Melech, lo uchal lo mashata na lemiachem miyaldei hateva. That's not proper. I'm not going to go describe you being as compare you to the tree, to an animal. You only do that when you want to talk about a person's physical qualities. But when you want to praise a person regarding his spiritual qualities, then you compare him to human beings who have been established as being great. Rak etzdorech lokachas yor min hamu'ulim mibinei odom. V'oymer elecha, I say to you, Shalomai, she'atoy yofisa mibinei odom. You are the most beautiful of men. I'm not going to praise you like you're like an animal. You're like an Aryeh. You're like a leopard. You're like
a bird, kmo bigvur chodoyme, shomer alecha shata gibo min ha'ari, rak ma she'alelcha hu ki hutzakein b'sif soisecha. I'm going to compare you to an attributes of humanity. Only a human being has the koyach of dibur. Shu b'malas ha'dibur ve'asechel shebucha, she'al ze lo yuchal lokachas yo v'dim yom yibali achem, rak mibnei adam shoha yuchacham gedolim v'ato yu, yof yofisa v'naleisa aleihem, you're even greater than them. Al kein therefore beirachecha elokim liyolam, she'amalas ha'chim liyos. So this is a beautiful sequel to this idea, because yesterday we had this difficulty. What's the al kein? What's this? It's a very difficult expression, al kein. And therefore he concludes, she'amalas ha'chim liyos, she'sharsam b'koich achiyuni, heim nifsadim imagviya ve'ein kayamim le'olam. When you want to compare a person to animals, to a lion, to a leopard, to a tree, they don't last forever. Leopards, lions have a life expectancy, die. Trees don't remain forever. But when you compare it to something spiritual, aval achash amalosahi malo enoshiyis nafshiyis, it's a spiritual quality. The spirit doesn't die. It just goes to a better place. It goes to the next world. Shehi nitzchis ve'ena nifsades. Therefore, al kein birchoscha hi le'olam. I'm comparing you mibinei adam. You're more exceptional than even the greatest man and the greatest men that have lived thus far. And therefore, because my comparison to my description of you is your spiritual qualities, these qualities will endure forever. They're not limited to this finite world. Okay, so this is I really believe a masterpiece, what the Malbim here says. This is a gem. It's giving us a whole new analysis. When you go through Tanakh, you master Tanakh, and you come across different expressions all over where there are people that are being compared to animals, compared to nature, trees. Any such comparison, any such dimyoin, is a trying to bring out a koyach hachoymri, a element, a dimension of gashmius, physical quality. But if you want to compare a human, you want to bring out in a person his spiritual qualities, then you compare him to men, to man. What kind of a man that has a reputation? You compare him to the others. You compare him to people that have been established as being great. You want to go say about Lipa Schmelzer, he's like Elvis. Just joking. Elvis was Jewish. You can't say Elvis. You know, Elvis is Elvis. Elvis was Elvis. You want to go say a person is an amazing. So who do you know? Yeah, you have to, you know, the Welt. Oh, you tell a guy. You tell a guy about. So you have to compare the spirit. I'm just giving you a joke. You understand what I'm trying to say? A spiritual quality compared to human beings. Physical qualities you compare to animals and nature. And that says pshat in the pasuk. Yof yofisa mibnei adam. We're not describing over here. You see, the Malam segment says, you're the most beautiful from all men. Wow, what a romantic thing to say. What a beautiful thing to say. No, what it means is this that we compare you, we're comparing you to humanity. We're not going to describe your beauty by comparing you to nature. The emphasis is on...
Is this a comparison of a physical quality?
Or no, that's exactly the point.
Because you're saying...
That's exactly the point he's trying to say.
So how are you defining the word? What quality is it?
All qualities.
No.
It's the concept.
This particular one here.
Well, let me try to say. The fact, when before we saw this Malbim, we read these words. Yof yofisa mibnei adam. What does that mean? It means, Shlomo HaMelech, you're more beautiful than any other man that we know. What? So either in your good deeds,
and,
because
you can have a similar term and compare it to an animal.
True. Okay, but
Egla Yefeifiyam Mitzrayim.
Oh, okay. Right. Egla Yefeifiyam Mitzrayim. Okay, so there you're right. You came to a calf, to an animal. Exactly. What I'm trying to say is, until we saw this novel, you read these words, what does it mean? It means something that's poetic. Shlomo, you're more beautiful than any other man that we've ever had in this world. What does that mean exactly? It means your good deeds, your there are other people that have good meisim tov, there are other people that are yirei shamayim, there are other people that have good qualities, but Shlomo, you're better than them. It's a beautiful expression. The Malma said, that's not what we mean to say. We mean to say is that Shlomo, when we're going to go and we're going to analyze you, and we're going to write books describing your greatness, the metaphors that we're going to use to describe you are going to exclusively come from humanity. And we're not going to describe you, your legacy will not be described with metaphors comparing your qualities to animals and nature. Because you are a spiritual being. You're not a physical being. Your spirituality is so great. Your legacy is your spirituality, not your physical accomplishments. You see, Machol is very interesting because it's taking this pasuk really is a stab in the heart at Yavon. What was the Yavonim? Yavonim, nikbitzu alai. What was the Yavonim? Yavtzu l'kim levis. What do they worship? They worship the body. The body, sports, the ability, physical body, the beauty of the body. All of their things were done. They were naked. All of their Their Olympics were done without wearing any clothing. They worked, toiled very hard to train the body, to allow the body to achieve maximum potential. It was all about the body. And they're the ones that get the bracha of Yaft Elokim Liyefes. The Yishki, that their bracha is Yoifi. And what do they take the Yoifi for? The body. Oh, the body.
Nevertheless, the language is also considered a beautiful language.
Fine, a beautiful language, right? Okay, it's incorporated. That's a separate idea. But it's incorporated into Klal Yisrael, into the Torah. Many Greek words, 100%. But the one that was given the blessing of Yoifi was Yefes. And Yefes, what did they take the Yoifi for? The Choymer, the physical body. Therefore, today, in the year, the secular year 2022, when you want to go describe the success, there's nothing to deny that they achieved great success. It's a shame there are no world records. Okay, how fast were they able to run? The people who lived in the time in the height of Greek culture, if we would take them into our generation, would they win the marathon? Supposedly yes. They invented the marathon. If we would go and we would bring in a time machine.
Marathon because they ran from a city named Marathon.
That's right.
The word came into
interesting.
The word marathon means
fascinating.
City
never knew that.
Marathon,
fascinating. So if we would take them here today and we would put them in a marathon, would they win? I don't know. Yeah? They didn't have steroids in those days, so I don't know. But they mastered the potential of the human body, and that's called beauty. And so if we would write books today describing how great they were, and they were great in their ability to bring out the potential, we would say they were like lions in their power, in gevura. They could lift weights. They were swift, like an eagle, like a nesher, as kinomer, gibor kari. Philosophy, the mind, intellectual. That's another element. There are many different dimensions, but it's all the same. It's all the same of the Hashem in a human being. There's a mind, so develop the mind to its maximum potential. The body, without Hashem in the picture, Hashem is not in the picture. take the mind. The mind has tremendous power. What do they tell? They tell us that a person, how much of a person's mind do we actually use? A teeny fraction. No one really knows for sure.
At best, 15%.
At best, no, we know.
That's why they say to keep the gray matter in the pink. The gray matter is the unused portion. Whatever's pink in the brain when they do a thing is
what's used.
The average person is 10%.
10%. Okay.
Einstein, they said, was a little over 15.
Okay, so
imagine how much room there is. I don't know Moshe Rabbeinu what.
And probably the koyach probably grows exponentially. I would assume that it doesn't just go. You just you know another couple more. Every percent more of power, of CPU cycles you add to the brain, that would probably exponentially give a person the ability to comprehend, to understand, to achieve. But in any event, they mastered the body, and that is called yofi. So if we today we describe the ancient Greeks and what they achieved, they were like lions, they were like vultures, they were like eagles, like trees. We would describe, you can't deny their achievements in mastering the potential of the body. We would describe them, the Olapikarsim and all, you know, everything is connected to Terakula. But when you want to go study what they accomplished, they did work very hard on what they accomplished, and you would describe it in terms of animals. Shloimai, you, guess what? That beauty of Yafta Lakim Liefes, it's baloney. It's what we would describe it, if we would write a book about it, it would be in animals. But your Yoifi, Shlomo, is Mibinei Odom. When we describe your legacy, we're not going to describe your Yoifi by comparing it to animals and trees and nature. We're going to describe you by using metaphors of human beings. There was a person, Esan Ho Ezrochi. There was a person, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sar, Rivka, Rachav, Leah. Whatever. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. You're right. Good. You got me there. Whatever it is, it is. But we are going to describe, and we're going to use the word Yoifi. This is like a stab to Yavan. Yavan, you failed miserably. Hashem gave you Yafta Lakim Liefes. And what did you use the Yoifi? To focus on the Choymer. Memela, what's the result? What's the legacy? The legacy is to have an encyclopedia of describing your greatness and using metaphors exclusively comparing you to animals and to nature to describe your Choymer. But Shloimei HaMelech, you mastered spirituality. And therefore, your Yoifi, when we write the book on your legacy, it's Mibinei Adam. The metaphors are going to come from humanity, not from nature and the animal kingdom. So the word Mibnei Adam is not just a romantic word. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're more beautiful than all men. Today you say that, you're in a lot of trouble, by the way. Okay? So but it doesn't just mean you're so beautiful. It means it's a concept. Mm-hmm. It's a concept. Your Yoifi is going to be described by using human analogies, human metaphors, because your beauty is a spiritual achievement. It's nafshi, it's nitzchi. Okay, if that's not a home run from the Malbim, I don't know what is.
And that's what's basically what the Abarbanel mentions Aristotle, not Plato or the other guy,
Plato.
Socrates. But he says Aristo so many times, but always where he goes wrong. In other words, he says this is their thought process, but obviously it doesn't fit in with Yiddish guy, you know.
It's, no, yeah, certainly not.
Of course, people focus on the greatness and things like that. He says it has potential, or he had potential, except that, it's just not real.
All right, Beryl Wine, you know, this three-series book, Triumph of Survival, I don't know which one it is. So he has a very, I mean, I'm sure there's an infinite amount of stuff out there to really to understand all the differences, you know, the Greek culture. But he summarizes it for the layman like me. Very, you know, he presents it, he lays it out, differences between all the different types of Greek philosophers and a lot of these ideas in a very...
Yes.
Short, concise way. Okay, let's go further. This is decent. Let's look over here at
the Likud Eshas. Okay, that's all we do in the Malam. Just want to look, we'll go on to the next page. I just want to just finish up some very important Mamori Chazal on page 403, Pasuk Dalid towards the bottom. Chagor Charbucha Al Yorech. One second over here. This thing over here is giving me okay. Okay, Chagor Charbucha Al Yorech Gibor Hoitcha Vahadorcha. Okay, so we learned over yesterday that we are instructing the Talmud Chacham, wherever you want to gird your sword on your thigh, on your loins, Gibor, you mighty man, Hodcha, it is your Hod and Vahadorecha, and your splendor. What exactly does this mean? So let's see over here what it says over here in the Mamar Chazal on page 403, on the very bottom, Likut Eshas Pasik Dalet. Omar le Abay le Rav Dimi v'Armel le Sam Sider Rav Avia v'Armel le Sam Sider Rav Yosef le Rav Dimi v'Armel le Rav Avia v'Armel le Abay le Rav Yosef. Whoo! Everyone wants credit for this. My time with Rabbi Eliezer, what the Omar that says shebechlei melchama tachshitin hein loy v'ein hayoytze b'chem b'shabbes chayev. The Chassid it says chagor charbucha al yorech gibor hodcha v'hadorecha. This piece of Gemara is a very, very profound Gemara, and it's relevant for halacha. Are you allowed to wear weapons on Shabbos as a malbush? Go out on Shabbos with a machine gun, AK-47.
Well, they used to wear swords.
Swords. So, well, what is it? Why is it any different? Why is it any different today? This is the big, big hot issue in America: a ban on assault rifles, a ban on weapons. Are you allowed to display the weapons? Holster with a weapon. So the Gemara over here says a halacha lemaisa that on Shabbos, halacha lemaisa on Shabbos, if a person wears a holster with a weapon, he's potter. He's not chayiv. It's not called carrying on Shabbos. To go in a reshus harabim do'iraisa. There's an isur, one of the lamites melachos, choytso b'Shabbos mirushus hayochil l'reshus harabim. There is a chayiv misa, a chayiv skila to carry. So if you go and you wrap around your body some nonsense, I don't know, something
a talus.
No, a talus is a garment. A talus is a garment. Of course you can wear a talus. You can wear a talus in the street on Shabbat. You can go into a rishus harabim. But let's say you put on a holster and you carry a weapon. So now let's say you live in a city where the crime rate is zero. You live in a fictional city. Well, let's go Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach, Utopia. Yemos HaMashiach, when they'll take the weapons, they'll put them into the plowshares.
You see it today, that in some communities that have organized security volunteers.
Right.
Well, that's sakana. That'll
exactly.
Tell you.
And in Eretz Yisrael,
that's different.
I once saw that several people.
They wear weapons. Right, they wear weapons, okay, but that's because of pikuach nefesh. In Eretz Yisrael, and even today in shuls, there are guidance by the Gedolei Yisrael of according to halacha, just like Hatzolah member has a radio, and they all now carry kemat. They all carry their cell phones on Shabbos now. They've been given permission by Poskim. Many of them have been given. I want to ask Baruch, your son, he carries his cell phone on Shabbos. You don't know. You don't think so. Okay, we'll ask him. I'll see him later today.
He's not a full member.
He's not a full member. Okay, but the full members. He was Aaron Rosenfeld. This is a couple of years ago. He gave a whole shmooze, and he says he did like 5 years ago at least.
But there are others.
Aaron Rosenfeld. Yeah. So he told us 5 years ago. 5 years ago, he told us that the Rabbanim basically have given permission to Hatzolah members to carry with them on Shabbos their smartphones. Mm-hmm. And that was 5 years ago. I have no doubt that today, for sure, I've seen my own eyes. I saw my own eyes even more than once on Shabbos. There was an emergency. There was a child that really, really hurt himself bad. Hatzolah came. And then the Hatzolah guy got on the phone. He took out his phone. He called the doctor. He called a doctor, a private doctor, a surgeon, and this and that. They were on the phone, not on the radio. and they have apps. Even the police, you say, you see, they pull over someone today for a ticket. I saw they pull over, Baruch Hashem, not me, not yet at least. They pulled over a guy for a ticket, and I saw the police officer took out his telephone. I don't know if it was a special telephone that the police department gave him, and he was talking to his, I don't know, to his, it was pretty, sergeant, it was pretty clear, he wasn't ordering a piece of pizza. He was talking to his sergeant how to deal with the situation that he had with him. He wasn't on the radio. Okay, they have a radio, and then they have a private, so therefore, conversation. So therefore, I'm not talking about that. That is a matter of sakana, pekuach nefesh, weapons. If we live in a dangerous world, people have weapons, they take weapons with them to shul, they will take weapons in the street. I'm talking about, let's say you have a society with...
Ago, on Friday night, they had that supposed threat.
Yes, right.
And they told all the members to have their phones on and be, you know, go around and hold it through whatever they have to do.
Okay, and Hanami, I'm talking about a situation where al derech hateva, it is not necessary. Okay, we're talking about a situation where al derech hateva, it's osur. The halacha is halacha. You know, there's no sakana. Al derech hateva, there's no sakana. You're not allowed to go take something street. Yet, the reason why I want to go with my weapon in public and display is because this is who I am. This is a tachshit. It is part of my dress, a person in this world, the way you dress, you wear a pair of pants, you put a gun, you have a weapon, you have a pistol.
I saw the photo I sent out in the email last week of Mrs. Ben-Gavir.
Yes. So she, exactly, but she's wearing it for security reasons,
yeah,
correct.
For sure.
She's wearing it for security, but I'm talking about over here where a person wears a weapon as a malbush, and out in the West, this is very, very common. That's why you hear in the news. They hear in the news all this big debate to ban weapons. Many people they're very against the government banning weapons because this is how they dress. This is who they are. You go out with a cowboy hat and a holster and a pistol. That's just the way you wear a shirt. You wear a shirt. You wear a pair of tzitzis. You wear a gun. It's a lavush. Who says? Me? Who says? The purpose, what kind of crazy dress is this? To go wear a weapon? Were you going to kill someone? Who says you're allowed to do this? Who says that this is a valid? It's the pasuk right here. This pasuk is such a critical pasuk. This pasuk changes. It defines man. Man is a person who has a weapon. It's the essence of man, even if it's safe. It's an incredible concept. A person, what is a person? A person is just a wimp. You just run him over. You step on him. A person has to have some self-esteem, some protection, even though it's not necessary to kill anyone, but it represents a reality of who you are. It's an incredible chiddush. The third line. My time, it is an ornament, and even in the times of Mashiach, when it says in the passage that all weapons will be banned, will be destroyed, they're not going to be used. There's going to be no war in the world. There's going to be no danger. But yet, it's still called an ornament which you're allowed to wear. Why is it if you wear it on Shabbos, you're part of the siv? This pasuk is a critical pasuk. Chagor charbecha al yerech gibor. You are a gibor, and the cherev is hoidecha. The shocking Chaimer Chazal, especially since we learned in last week, is al charbecha sichye. The cherev is the symbol of Esav, not of Yaakov. Yet this pasuk says that Yaakov also is. It's the hoid and the hodar, and this really needs very deep explanation to really define the depth of what this really means over here. I'll give you an example what it means to who the person is. Someone told me this about my grandfather. My grandfather was a very dignified person to an extreme. I actually have two stories I can tell you about Shavshik. Okay, so I can tell you two stories which give a little bit of a taste of this. So my grandfather was a Rashiv in RJJ. RJJ closed down in the 70s. RJJ at the very end was completely bankrupt, and it was a very, very sad state of affairs. And the very end, before they closed down, the building was a dump, was literally a garbage dump.
They
And it was the end, and the yeshiva was closing down. And my grandfather was there. I don't know whatever reason he was there. And he met a person there at the very, very end. And my grandfather either owed him money or he wanted to give him a donation. I don't know what the story was. He said to me, I'll write you a check. I'll give you a check. Write out a check. So he wanted to sit down and to write a check. And he took out his checkbook, took out a pen. And there was basically nowhere to sit down. I guess they were in the process of shutting down the yeshiva, and they were in a classroom, and the classroom was filthy, filthy, dirty. Filthy, dirty. So he went, he found a desk, like one of these student desks, and he took the desk, and he cleared out an area, made it nice and clean and neat. He then took the desk, he washed the desk. Someone told this story to me not that long ago. He washed the desk. He then found a chair that was filthy, dirty. He took the chair, he cleaned the chair, and he put the desk in the middle and the chair at the side. And then, you know, he was dressed very distinctly, like a kapata. He picked up his kapata, sat down, he took out his pen and checkbook, and was about to write the check. And the other person was looking at him like, are you crazy? What did you just do? You spent 10 minutes cleaning the room, cleaning a desk and a chair to go write a check? Just take the check and, you know, just write it on your hand. You know, hold it in your hand or hold it against the wall. What are you doing? So he said to him, you think I'm crazy, right? Let me explain to you. When you sign your name, this is who you are. You sign your name, your signature, this is you. The check is invalid unless you sign your name. It's not like today, everything is electronic today, right? You sign your name. You want to be a schlump. You have to sign your name with dignity. You have to sign the name with dignity. Hu hadorecha, hoidecha v'hadorecha. It is your hoid. You have over here in this example, chagor charbecha al yorech. The sword. The sword is hoidecha v'hadorecha. Okay, obviously, signing your name is not the same as a sword, but I'm just trying to give you an example. There are certain things that capture who you are, and you want to do, you have to do it in a dignified way. This story would never happen today in a million years by anyone. I'll give you another story. Someone told me another story. My mother, at some point, wherever she had to go to a doctor. So my grandfather took my mother to a specialist. My mother was a little child, and he took her to the doctor, to a specialist, whatever was necessary. So they're in the waiting room, and it was supposed to be like a big doctor, someone a real mumche, and whatever needed to be done. And my grandfather met one of his students in the same office, also waiting there, whatever. So they were in the waiting room, and then they called my grandfather to come in to the doctor. There was like a big, you know, a big hotshot doctor. And my grandfather, he took out a comb from his pocket and he combed his beard. And he said to the Talmud, the Talmud was like, what are you combing your beard? You're going into the doctor. So he says, yeah, when you go into the doctor, it's a big mumcha, it's a big mumcha. You have to project dignity. It's important that way, if you project dignity, he will deal with you in a dignified way. He'll take care of you. This is a serious matter. Okay, try that today. Today, people go to the doctor wearing their pajamas. Not even, if you're lucky. And the doctor himself will be wearing the pajamas also today. Okay, we live in a totally different world today. You have to understand, we're going back to a world that doesn't exist today. But there's a certain dignity. This is who you are. And chagor charbucha al yorech gibor. David says,
what works. I have a doctor with a lot of women secretaries. I brought everybody a 2-pound salami.
Oh.
They took good care of me.
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Don't give him below.
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's how you win over a man. Okay, so there is. This is an incredible pasuk. The cheref. What is the cheref? Okay, what is the cheref? So pashup shad the cheref al derech pshat ein mikro yoytze midei peshutai ad kidei kach imoys hamashiach. According to one opinion, we quote this chazal over here. When there's no need for a weapon, it's still a tachshon. It's an ornament.
It represents dignity. It represents don't mess with me. You mess with me, I'll take out my shotgun and you'll be gone. A person walks in with a weapon, you don't mess with them. You don't mess with them.
Right.
I'm not a wimp. Don't step on me. I got a weapon here. Even in the times of Yemos HaMashiach, it represents a concept which is a tachshit. Look, what is a garment? A garment, you go like this, you go like this, you have a tie. What's a tie? You know what a tie is. A tie is a litvisher gartel. By the Hasidim, they have a gartel on the waist. By the Litvaks, they have a gartel on the neck. What's the chilek? By the Hasidim, the gartel is mavdil between the heart and the erva. By the Litvaks, the gartel is mavdil between the head and the heart.
Rabbi Tendler,
think about that.
Rabbi Tendler, Oliver Shalom, had said to a class one time,
yeah,
he mentioned something about Hasidim Shemitic. He said, the problem is a lot of Hasidim, they wear their gartel so tight, they get gangrene.
Ooh. Okay. So this is your cherev. Look, the charbucha, the chassidim will tell you the charbucha is the gartel. It's al yorech. That's the gartel. The gartel is the cherev. It's a dugma for the cherev. Mavdil. Okay, let's see over here the next maim chazal. The next maim chazal is Hashem ish milchamo. No, I'm sorry, the next line. It's three lines from the bottom. Omlev kahandle marbered rav huna. Hai bedivrei tarik siv. It says, no, this pasuk is not discussing a sword. It's a metaphor. The cherev represents the milchamto shel Torah. Rather, ein mikro yoytzei midei, I disagree, ein mikro yoytzei midei pshutai. A cherev represents your milchamto shel Torah. I was at Shabbos somewhere, we were waiting somewhere, and there was a very big Talmud Chacham, and we're just waiting. So he says to me, nu, tell me a vart. Tell me a chiddush. He did, it was like tove nu, on this tell me of art. So it, when you so it's like this is what it says. When you're standing around in the elevator, you better have what to say. You have to be dressed with something provocative. A sword is you say something, armed. You're exactly, you're armed. You tell him of art, and he says, I thoroughly disagree with that. Why? Because of this reason. I say, let's have a duel. I say, no, you're wrong. And right away you enter into milchamto shel Torah. Okay, so there is the cherev is a metaphor for milchamto shel Torah. A person, Jews, always have to be armed with words of wisdom to debate, to argue, something chidushei Torah to argue about. They say, and this is the famous Zvart, you need to be a maimon to appreciate this Zvart, is that Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. How are they marbim shalom ba'olam? So this again, you have to be a maimon to appreciate the Vart, is that at every year on Rosh Hashanah or whenever, there's a gezerah ben hashamayim, for whatever the reason is, that there's going to be in this world milchama. There are going to be wars. There are wars all over the world. So how do we sweeten, how do we amamtik the din of milchama? So there's a principle that just have the gezerah. You can't cancel the gezerah. That's too difficult. But instead, we can channel it in another way. So if there is war in Torah, milchamto shel Torah, the gezerah min hashamayim, that there should be war, has been niskayim. It doesn't have to happen. And Mimela, so therefore by Talmidei Chachamim debating, engaging in Milchamto Shel Torah, they channel the gezerah of there being physical war in this world. And Mimela, they're Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. They take upon themselves the gezerah of Milchama and they channel it into Milchamto Shel Torah, which is harmless for the world. And Mimela, no longer is there a gezerah of Milchama and there's Shalom in the world. Okay, you have to, it's a very deep Kabbalistic type of art, and there are many types of erlich that are very similar to this. We do this on Rosh Hashanah, we do this kapara, what kapara is all about. Zeh chalifasi, zeh timurasi, zeh tarnagol, or zeh kesev yelich litztaka. It was meant to be a gzera, so no, let the gzera be chal on the bird. does not be chal upon me. There are many different examples that we do things like this. How does all of this work? I have no idea how all this works. It's a very deep idea. I don't think we should rely upon it. A person has to do real teshuva and take real responsibility and accountability for our actions. We live in a very dangerous world today, because today the world, has decayed like never before in history of the world. Accountability. There's no accountability today. Today, you can do whatever you want, and as long as you're on the right team, you can get away with it. If you're on the wrong team, you could persecute people, and you're not accountable for anything. You could borrow money, student loans, you have to pay back. You know, you just have to identify with the right segment of society, you're not accountable. Yeah, I'm not saying this. It's not my var. But having a kosher melcham b'shul Torah, not a machloikis of what we see goes on in this world. I'm not talking about. All right, no. I don't want to say anything bad now. Nothing bad now.
Yesterday, a group called the Brooklyn
Area. All right, this is not going to be good.
They aired is all of Brooklyn except Williamsburg. They didn't want to have machloikis. They didn't want them people playing on air, so Williamsburg is out of the air.
Okay, fine, whatever. Okay, tell this. So this is. All right, now we go to the next Maimon Chazal. Hashem Ish Milchama. Hashem Shemar Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harei Ze Mikra Asher B'Mekom Es Harbei. This is a Mikra Asher. Ever heard that expression? So the Mechilta. This is an unusual expression. A Mikra Asher B'Mekom Es Harbei Magid Shniglalem Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Bechol kile zayin, nigle aleim ki gibor chogur cheref shnemar chagor charbecha al yirech gibor hoitcha vaha dorecha. Okay, a lot of very interesting things about this mizmar over here. First of all, over here is the word mikre oshir. Chazal always say divrei Torah aniim b'mokim echad va'ashirim b'mokim acher. Divrei Torah, it's poor in one location, but it's rich. Sometimes when you're learning a sugya, You're missing information to clarify the subject matter. And the information, therefore, you're oni, you're lacking. There is something fundamentally lacking in the concepts that are lacking in one mesechta. Where are you going to find these concepts? In a place you never imagined. In a different mesechta, ashirim b'makoyim acher, in another location. But then there's something called the mikra that's oshir b'chol makoyim. You never need to look. The information is supplied completely, totally, in every location where you go. You never need to carry with you baggage. You don't need to go take a suitcase with your pajamas and all of your clothing when you go from place to place, because wherever you go, you're going to have everything you possibly need. How often do Chazal say, generally the rule of thumb is, Divrei Torah, aniim b'mokoyim echod v'ashirim b'mokoyim acher. And here is the opposite. Mikra zeh, harei zeh mikra oshir b'mokoyim es harbei. Wow. Unbelievable. And what is the mikra oshir? The concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu magid shenigle, what is this concept? Hashem ish, the concept that Hashem ish milchoma. Shenigle aleihem magid, shenigle aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol klei zayin. And then, this obviously is subject to a lot of interpretation. You have to go to the Mechilta. Mechilta is not an easy thing to learn. There aren't all that many Sfarim on the Mechilta. The Mechilta is really the Makor of Talmud Bavli. It's the source of Talmud Bavli. It's the Mishnayis. The source of the Mishnayis and the Talmud Bavli comes from Mechilta. It's not so big. It's not such a big book. And there are definitely many commentaries. It's very complicated. You have to go there and look up, see how they fatayach this thing over here, what it means over here. But this, at least in general, it's saying over this prince like HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared with all of his klei zayin. You know, when you go to battle, we all know you go study warfare. You need a certain type of weapon for a task. Okay, you don't take an F-35 in order to go deal with someone on Avenue M. If there's a perpetrator running around Avenue M, you don't go call in F-35s, radar evading billion-dollar machines to come and find the guy who stole someone's wallet.
Okay. And, and you don't call
You don't call in the tank. You never saw a tank going down Avenue M. And when you go into warfare, guerrilla warfare, you don't come in your nice shiny uniform, you know, nice shiny polished shoes, boots. It's not the way it goes. Every type of battle demands a different type of weapon, a different type of technique. So here, what do you mean, b'chol klei zayin? You do construction. Plumber comes. What do you need me to do? You need me to put a new boiler? Oh, then I have to go bring a whole set of utensils. I got to go bring. You need to go fix a little pipe? Oh, you need a little pipe. So then I got to go bring this type of tool. I had a leak, so I called up my plumber. So I told my plumber, I don't think this is a big deal. You know, if you can't come, just tell me, you know, maybe I'll go buy the tool myself. He says, I don't think so. From the picture that you've sent me, the tool you need to fix this damage, the tool costs $2,000. You want to go spend $2,000 on a specialized tool to fix your problem? I don't think so. You better wait until I come and give me the $2,000. Every type of situation we all know needs a unique type of tool, a unique weapon. So what does this mean? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, Hashem comes, B'chol Klei Zayin. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Okay, but it's a mikra or shir.
That's not an overkill?
Yeah, it isn't an overkill, right? So what does it mean exactly? And what does it mean it's or shir? I don't know what this means. This is something very, okay, this is something. Okay, let's just learn a little bit more. Let's now go to the next page. Next page over here is Vahadorcha, Vahadorcha. Now this is.
He's showing the arsenal.
A parade. It's like a parade like in North Korea.
This is what I have availability.
Okay, it has to mean something like that. B'chol Klei Zayin, and this is a mikra or shir. I don't know what this means. It means something very, very deep. I don't know what it means. Okay, let's go now to the next page. Let's go to the next page, page 404. Another psukim which are very, very popular psukim. V'hadorcha tzelach. With your splendor succeed. Hatzlach. This means tzelach. Tzelach is a shorter form for success. Rechav. Ride al devar emes on devar usually means words. Okay, we have this over here. What it means over here? Al kursei malchusei. The Targum is very hard over here. We have to go to the Targum. Is a lot of words over here. Targum is al esek. The Targum translates the word devar. The Targum over here is a whole collection of words over here. Al kursei malchusa on the legs of the kingdom. Okay, hadorcha with your splendor. Look at the Targum. Vishiv hoiroch, your praise, sagi. So he translates the word tzlach to be like tzlach means a lot. It means to grow, massive. Sagi means very, very much. Me'od, me'od, me'od. Sagi means a lot. And then it says begin kain, or no, it says begin kain, because of this, tit, I made a mistake, tatzlach. Tatzlach, be successful, lemirkav, to ride, al kursei malchusa. Kursa usually means the legs of the kingdom, al esak heimanusa, on an esik of emes, ukeshoit. Okay, he is quite a bit of translation over here into this pasuk. Okay, so okay, we have to see the Mefarshim, how they tie it. The easiest ones is really the Midrashim. But let's just translate it on a very simple level. V'hadorcha, with this hod, with this beauty, tzlach, be successful. Rechav, ride high. Riding high is like, you know, Haman said to Achashverosh, what should we do with the person that Sharmel Chofet Spikoro? So he told him, they should take your royal chariot, your royal horse, and he shall ride. A person ish, Ashamel Chafetz Bikaro, shall be put upon the king's horse, and he shall be paraded throughout the city. He will ride high. It's an expression of honor. With your splendor, be successful. Rechav, ride, be elevated, be paraded. Al Divar Emes, on a matter of truth. Va'anva tzedek, humility of righteousness, v'sorcha, and may it teach. The word sorcha means to teach. Noirois yiminecha,
Your right hand, you have to translate it backwards. Your right hand shall teach wondrous things. One more pasuk. Chitzecha shenunim. Your arrows are sharp. Amim tachtecha yiplu. Nations will collapse beneath you. Believe in the heart, oyve hamelech, in the heart of the enemies of the king. What does that mean exactly? Let's see the mitzvah David. The mitzvah is David, pasuk hey. Va'adorcha, return the loyma. The splendor which is with you, this that you will be successful and you will ride high in the highest levels of government. The reason why you will be successful is in reward. You're humble, but tzedek, with righteousness, lowly his ya'er, not to become arrogant. Visorcha, lezeh therefore, yimincho, your right hand, tilamed oisro, will teach you, not us, la sois ma'asim no'yorim yo'yvech, to do wondrous things against your enemy, mubili limud ve'ezem yizulas, and you will not need anyone to assist you. Now he's saying over here an enormous amount of information, the Mitzvah Seven, at least in his interpretation. Number one he's saying over here is that the reason why you're going to be successful is because you're honest. So many politicians, when they run for office, they're such a bunch of liars. Such a bunch of liars. And most people are asleep at the wheel, they're asleep, and they're just so easily led to be fooled. And
they start off honest, and then they realize they can't survive that way.
Exactly. Exactly. So when they care, so he's saying over here that that's not the way it goes. That true success comes from reward. This is an incredible thing. I mean, read what it says over here, just shocking. We're talking over here about rising high in the upper echelons of government. That's what he says. And the only way you're going to get there is through MS. Through sheker, you're not going to get there. Now, go tell that to any politician. They'll laugh at you. And they'll say that's not the way the system is set up today. The way the system is set up today is you just have to know how to maneuver. You got to know how to lie, when to lie, and when to remember your lies, when not to remember your lies. And the people, the successful politicians, are better liars. The one who knows how to lie in a more sophisticated way will be the president of the United States. Not right. To misremember. Okay, what was the legacy of Princess Diana on a yard site? So Prince Harry, or Prince William, I don't know, not Harry, he's not a prince anymore, he's a Reus. But William, I think on her yard, I tell you many times, on a yard site of Princess Diana, so he was masped her, and what did he say? Unbelievable, shocking things. He said, my mother taught me, you can be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught. Can you imagine? This is the nachas of a mother, that her son tells the legacy, be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught. It's true, but I mean for them, okay, it's unbelievable. And this really, those words summarize the whole Buckingham Palace of the whole sheker of Europe. It summarizes, be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught. That summarizes basically politics.
Any different here?
No, worse. Here it's even worse, I think. It's politics is not a topic to talk about during a shiur. But today you see our own eyes is that yes, anyone goes to politics, it's just a life of sheker. And most people are so not interested. So it's so easy to get the votes. The smart people who know what's going on, they're a minority. As long as you know how to just push them away and focus on the masses, you're able to lie your way into anything. And the better liar and the more sophisticated liar you are, the higher you will rise in the upper echelons of Memshala. This pasuk says something different. How do you reconcile this pasuk with the reality of this world? I really don't know. I don't know. And because even in Israeli politics, it's no different. Okay, amongst the Jews, unfortunately, I don't think it's much different. It's any different. But he says over here words that are just utterly.
He's telling you, don't go that way. This is the way you need.
Yeah, you don't stand a chance. They'll derech
hateva.
Okay. If you truly is that we live in a world of Hester Panim.
today. Look, Mishanin Mibnei Darkei Shalom. I don't know what to say because the world is a world of Alma de Shikra. And anytime you talk about MS, you're asking for trouble. And David over here is saying over here, he's not just talking about MS. Okay, very nice ideal. MS, MS, MS. You have a whole encyclopedia, you put it on the bookshelf. Yeah, it's a very nice conceptual thing to be honest. Go out into the world, see what goes on in the world. Many people tell you that if you want to be honest, you can't make a dollar. People in certain businesses, it's all about how to the legal loopholes, ethics, and outright fraud, and outright getting away with things. Otherwise, you can't survive a day. It's shocking that people talk like this. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. And in government, in politics, forget it. It's kula sheker, kula sheker. And he says here, he talks about politics. One more time, these words of the Mitzvah David. Ritzon lemar, ha-hodu asher yilbucha, the splendor that you will have, bema shetitzlach v'sirkav b'govhei ha-memshalo. Your beauty and your success in government, in reaching a position of authority in government. You know how you get to the upper, the top of government? Zeyelecha. The reward is ba'avurcha emes she'asisa. Because of your honesty. Okay? Your honesty. Really. Uvavur she'asisa onov. Humble. Really humble. Ask Trump what the word humble means. Okay? Humble. Humility. Okay? Ed humble. Humility. Bitzedek. Lo lehisyahir. That is how you reach the top. Visorcha, and when you get to the very top, because of your midos of emes and your humility, you will not need to come on to anyone to succeed. You're not going to need the votes of all these shmegegis. You're not going to need to consult with all the world leaders and go to all these summits and all these people. Your right hand, you're not going to need any assist to make a coalition with this and with that. Do whatever you want. All ba'avur emes. Very difficult pasuk to appreciate the depth of what this means. Next pasuk vav the mitzvah. Your arrows, hachitzim, the arrows, asher tashlach yu michudadim, will be sharp. The al yideze yiblu chamim tachtecha ki hachitzim b'chem yiblu b'leiv, they will fall. The fall tachtecha. So I didn't put the comma in the correct place. Okay, where I made a very big mistake when I translated the pasuk, because it doesn't make sense. Chitzecha, your arrows, shinunim are very sharp. Amim tachtecha, period. Nations will fall beneath you because of the arrows. And then it says, yiplu, where will the arrows arrive? They will land. Belev oyve hamelech, in the heart of the king of the king of your enemy. So I wasn't totally incorrect. Okay, I thought I prepared this. I don't know what happened. I thought I prepared this mitzvah. Is that really the word yiplu goes in both? It was amem tachtecha yiplu, and then repeat the word yiplu belev oyvei hamelech. This is very typical of ancient writings, especially Tanakh, is where words are meant to be repeated. And this is another example. They're very different styles, sophisticated styles of writing. You got a whole book on, a whole sefer on this. Rabbi Orli and Zecher Levracha was very into this. Is taking a pasuk and basically putting in a mathematical formula. He liked to do this very, very much. There are certain systems of writing, techniques in writing psukim of ABC, 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 CBA, ABC, C, ABC, CBA. Every time you have a whole dictionary, a whole long list of rules of styles, and then you take a pasuk and you see and you put it into this mathematical formula, and that helps. It's a very good aid to appreciate. You know, then you can go look at a whole mizmar, look at a style. If you put psukim in a mathematical formula, it opens up a whole new appreciation of the style of writing. And of course, this only works according to certain interpretations. Because every one of the commentaries has their translation, their interpretation. And their interpretation will definitely affect the mathematical analysis of how each word in the pasuk relates to the other words in the pasuk. But here it says the word, this what it says in the parentheses, is the word yiplu goes back and forth. It's chitzech shununim, kama, Amim tachtecha yipelu, and then make believe, repeat the word, yipelu belev oivei hamelech. This is the koich of who are we referring to? According to the mitzudos, we have to remember, the mitzudos is lishi tosoi. The mitzudos is talking about government, memshala, because he learns we're referring to the melech hamashiach. Always got to remember, each one of the commentators has a different interpretation of who is the subject. Is it the Melech HaMashiach? Is it Shlomo HaMelech? Is it Talmidei Chachamim? Is it the Sanhedrin? Everyone has their own interpretation. The Targum, who learned we're dealing with the Sanhedrin, so when he says, Vishiv Horach Sagi, your praise is very great, begin came because of this, because of your praise, you will be successful. Lemirkav, Al kursei malchusa, to rise to the upper echelons of government, al asak hey monusa, because of your dealings with ukeshoit, matters of truth. So what does that mean exactly? It means, I'm not sure what this means. I really don't know what he means over here. This needs a lot of interpretation. And the invis sonusa vitzid kisa, your humility and your righteousness, the al pinoch Hashem. So he, if you notice, he disagrees with Rashi. Rashi, I'm saying the Mitzudois. The Mitzudois says v'mincha means that you yourself will do whatever you want. V'sorcha, you will teach. V'sorcha, he translated to mean it will teach you. Targum says, he adds a word, v'alfino Hashem. Hashem will teach you how to fight your enemies. Lemebad dechilon biyad yiminach, to do dechilon, wondrous things with your right hand. Okay, so the Targum really has a whole different interpretation, which we'll leave in the Hashem for tomorrow, because it's very, very late. So we'll stop over here, and we'll continue tomorrow.
A wonderful shriga.